story of the creation, and I defined you to find anything missing in that. We do not invent, we discover. Edison didn't invent a light bulb, he discovered a new way to use what already existed, because God had already created. There is nothing that you can name that doesn't come from the original creation. And if you believe that, and that God created all and is the provider of all, then you have some choices in how to live your life. Lisa will tell you she never gets a sermon title from me. I don't title my sermons because to get them to her in time for her to get the bulletin done, I still have no idea sometimes what the sermon's going to be. So putting a title on it is a little dangerous. So I call this a tale of two sermons. And I'm using two scriptures. The first is Philippians 2, chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, where it says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." The second comes from the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, where it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." So if our lives were a living sermon, and believe me, friends, they are. My kids remind me of that all the time when I say, "Why did you do that? I told you not to." And they say, "I heard what you said, but I saw what you did." But if our lives are a living sermon, then what sermon are we preaching? So here's two possibilities. First of all, I have to admit that being thankful is difficult. Even though the Bible suggests that we should do all things without complaining right there in Philippians, I wonder if maybe that's because we haven't perfected the art of complaining yet. Because I am almost sure that if Paul saw how productive we could be in our grumbling, he would have changed his mind. So here are some things I work on to be a better complainer. I keep a journal. I keep a record of all the things that bother me and all the people that have made me angry. Because we all have pet peeves, and it's easier to keep track of them if you write them down. In a journal, I record three or four things every day that made me angry. And they can be as insignificant as I want. I spend time every day reflecting on those things that the people did that day to bother me. And when I find that I'm actually close to content, I go back to my journal and remind myself of how frustrated I really am. Because you have to feed your grudges for them to grow. Next thing I do is I think about the words I use. See, people who are typically thankful have the same kind of lives as you and me. The difference is they're not realists like we are. They haven't put enough time practicing being frustrated and irritable about the things that happen around them. So language matters. Be mindful of the adjectives you choose. The more strongly you label things, the better you're going to be able to cultivate a grumbling spirit. Use adjectives like horrible, bad, atrocious, irritating, and the ever-popular stupid. And then get distracted. When people are thankful, it's typically because they lack the ability to remember all the bad things that have happened in the past, or they can't worry adequately about what might happen in the future. You see, to be a top-level complainer, you need to be good at both. Always multitask. Why just sit and enjoy a meal when you can check your phone or watch TV? If you give yourself too much time to focus on the good stuff happening around you all the time, you'll miss out on all the potential threats on the horizon or the bad stuff that you've already experienced. And then it's very important to focus on your prayer time, because prayer is a wonderful tool for getting what you want. Don't waste valuable time lauding God for his wonderful attributes. He knows what he does well. Focus on asking for the things you don't have and desperately want. And this one is very important. Avoid focusing on your health. It's amazing how thankfulness and health go hand in hand. The healthier people are, the more likely they are going to be grateful. So those of you coming to the exercise class, stop it now. Because you're going to turn out to be a positive person, and then the more positive you are, the more likely you are that you're going to make more healthy decisions. And really, friends, it's a waste of time. Please get as little sleep as possible, because lack of sleep can create anxiety, and anxiety is like steroids for complainers. Exercise is poison. Do you know that exercise gives you endorphins? You don't need chemicals running around in your body, for goodness sakes. And they stop you from seeing the world as the horrible, awful cesspool it really is, and you don't need anything interfering with that. As you may have heard in those first few paragraphs, there are disciplines and habits that we can develop that help us create hearts based upon what we invest in those disciplines. We can be full of anger and bitter, or we can be thankful. But giving thanks requires practice. It doesn't just happen by accident. We need to regularly stop and give thanks for the good things in our lives. We need thankfulness and not criticisms that should be our default position. Sue and I play a game in the car. When that idiot pulls in front of us, we try not to call him an idiot anymore. We say interesting things like, well, maybe he just heard his mom's in the hospital and he's trying to get there. We try to give the story a positive spin because we don't know that person's life. We just know it interfered with ours, but doggone it, we're going to get there anyway, so why worry about it? Thank God that you're not in a rush like that person, for goodness sakes. And anytime you see something good in your life, stop and point it out. Think about it. Thank God for it. All right, I'll admit, we all complain occasionally, even me. But try practicing to responding to your own complaints by finding things to be thankful for. Because as you do that, you begin to rewire your brain, and your brain becomes proficient at recognizing the good things in your life instead of the bad. And give thanks in all circumstances. Paul tells the Thessalonians to give thanks in all things because that's God's will. Now, why would we give thanks when the world seems to be crumbling in upon us? It's because we lack perspective in our lives. We see the short term, not the long term. We don't have the clarity to look at any situation and say with certainty why it's happening. What we do know is that God is in it all and working to bring good out of it. Doesn't mean everything is good, but it does mean that in the end, it all fits together in a way we couldn't have imagined. So no matter what we're going through, we can give thanks that God is there. He is redeeming the situation, sustaining us. Left to our own devices, we focus on what's going on around us. We transcend our experience when we're able to lift our eyes above it and see God in the middle of it. A.W. Tozer says, perhaps it takes a purer faith to praise God for unrealized blessings than for those we once enjoyed or those we enjoy now. And give thanks when things are going well. That might sound like silly advice, but perhaps it's the most important thing you'll hear today. Because the position we start from is that everything is supposed to go well. It's due to us somehow, but that's not how life works. When life is running smoothly, it's easy for us to get that too is a gift from God. We don't see the ways that God protects us and guides us along the way. We don't see the paths that God has chosen to the green pastures and the still waters. We somehow just think we got there magically. And then there's a hard one. Recognize the good that has come from your bad experiences. It's good to spend time reflecting on the difficulties you've already walked through, because with some distance, you can recognize the good that came out of those experiences. And we all have those experiences in our life that when we look back, we realize something wonderful happened in the midst of something terrible. Maybe it gave birth to a new blessing, or it built your stamina and endurance. Either way, learning to see past those trials through eternity's perspective enables us to be more thankful during times of struggle. And then understand the power of giving thanks. I can't emphasize that enough. There is great power in thankfulness. I have, in my time, seen all sorts of people walk through all sorts of horrendous experiences. The emergency room on a Saturday night will teach you that in a very short time. But it always seems to be the case that those who are the most thankful and have learned to recognize God's hand in everything are the ones that face those times with the most grit and determination and faith and trust. Thanksgiving is kind of a superpower, I guess. It enables us to see past our experiences and embrace the way that God is moving. Not only are thankful people able to draw strength from gratitude, but they're also able to empower others with their perspective as well. And so the question is, what sermon do you live? Do you go through life thinking that everything that is good is yours, that you deserve it, that it's that's how it ought to be, and when something bad happens, then you fall apart and think, where is God, whom you haven't called on until today? Or do you live each day thankful? Because as John read, there's nothing that God didn't do first. The very ability you have to work and to earn is a gift from God. The very ability you have to care for one another, to form families, is a gift from God. The very ability you have to fellowship together here in this place is a gift from God. And the most important gift of God is the gift of life that we have. Because God didn't just leave us here alone, but came and lived among us, full of grace and love and the fullness of life. He was just as we are, but without sin. And that, my friends, ought to be our goal, to move as Christ moves through this world in a constant state of thankfulness for that example, for all the gifts that we have, and for all the promise of those to come. I wish you the most happy of Thanksgivings, and I hope that you will be thankful every day of the year, because every day really is Thanksgiving.